This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. Popular journalism is littered with heartbreaking stories of patients whose lives were dramatically changed by medical mistakes. The emotional setback, the psychological pain of recovery, or in the worst cases, loss. Those are all too familiar. But what happens to the doctors who make those mistakes? How are they affected emotionally? Dan Shapiro is an assistant professor of clinical psychiatry at the University of Arizona in the College of Medicine in Tucson, Arizona. He's the author of a new book called Delivering Dr. Amelia, and he joins us now from his home in Tucson. And welcome to Talk of the Nation.
Thank you, Neil.
You bring an unusual perspective to this issue because you also wrote a book, a previous book. You're a cancer survivor, so you're a patient as well as a therapist who treats physicians.
That's right.
And what, as you were getting into this situation with an obstetrician, and perhaps you ought to tell us briefly what this case was, who's Amelia and what was her problem?
Amelia is a gifted obstetrician who's young, who came to see me after making a medical mistake.
She made a mistake in the delivery room and caused brain damage to a baby she was delivering.
Well, eventually that became a little less clear, but when she first came to see me, that was certainly her concern, that she had misread fetal heart rate monitor readings, and as a result, a baby was born with cerebral palsy, and she was devastated.
As her therapist, though, you were sitting there getting incredibly angry because the way you had sometimes been treated as a patient by your doctor, or the fear that what if this had happened to your baby?
I think when she first came in, I was really engaged by how articulate and compelling. I mean, I was really riveted by her. And then slowly, as she began to share her story, it reminded me certainly of my own vulnerability at the hands of physicians who were just like her.
Hmm. In her case, it's a fascinating story that she tells, and a lot of it revolves around her childhood, her background, all the elements of therapy that you go through, and the ups and downs of therapy as well. But the medical background to this particular case is extraordinary.
Well, I found her, the fact that she was gifted, when she first came in, the first part of therapy, we had to really get past her training, which really acculturates physicians to present themselves, I think, as all-knowing. And it took a while for her to be willing to acknowledge that she'd made this mistake and to take a square look at what it meant. And what it really meant to her was that perhaps she was incapable of really functioning.
She felt as if she was a fraud, and that's a very common feeling that many of us have.
I think that's true. And unfortunately, while most of us are willing to talk about it, physicians are really acculturated not to speak about the parts of themselves that are vulnerable. And if anything, my work with her, you know, when I was a patient, I really felt like the physicians around me were immune to emotionally to whatever happened to me, that they were kind of that mask of objectivity really kept some distance. But with her, it really felt like the underbelly of medicine, the part that's really about loss and vulnerability and fear, was revealed.
You write a lot about that. You wrote when you were a patient, you didn't want your doctor to be impartial and distant. You wanted him to suffer along with you.
Well, I wanted to have a sense that they were throwing themselves into the fight, that they were thinking about me at the stoplight and in the frozen food section of the supermarket. They were completely engaged. And that objectivity, that kind of mask of science, I found frustrating as a patient and really tried to engage my physicians in any way I could. And then as a therapist, as a psychologist, I've learned that in the beginning, when physicians first come to this work and really throw themselves into it, they eventually get burned because we're not so great at teaching them how to cope with their losses. And so they kind of erect these, what I consider primitive screens, this distance from their patients. And they get more and more and more distant. And I think we as patients sense that distance, and it frustrates us.
At one point in your book, Amelia's fiance, or her husband, I guess, tells her, look, everybody makes mistakes. You got to get over this and get back to it. And she said, look, when you make a mistake, he was a landscape architect at that time. When you make a mistake, somebody's lawn doesn't get watered. When I make a mistake, somebody's life is ruined.
That's right. And, you know, there are a lot of professions where people have a great deal of responsibility. But I think in a lot of those professions, we squarely face their mistakes a little bit better. In medicine, we vilify physicians who make mistakes, both inside the profession and in the malpractice venue.
You also have some sympathy with that, too, as a former patient.
I do. I felt really mixed. And, you know, one of the things I wanted to write about was the confusion that goes along with these situations, because having been a patient who'd suffered through some physician mistakes, there was a part of me that was really angry. But then being a professional who was working with her and in a parallel sort of process, I was worried about making a mistake with her as she, as her despair grew and grew.
Interesting. You say a part of you was angry. Now I'm evaluating you. The part of you that was angry was your back. That was because you were given the wrong dosage of a particular medicine and left with some lingering nerve damage.
That's right. I have, you know, numbness in my back from shingles when I was underdosed by a resident. And it was amazing to me that while sitting with this, you know, goes to show the power of the mind, right? I was sitting with this patient, and she's describing her medical mistake, and I start to feel that numbness in my back.
One of the things you also write about is, I think at one point you met the psychologist who'd worked with baseball players, Los Angeles Dodgers, and he said, look, people have come to the conclusion that the best players are not necessarily those with the best physical skills, but the people who are best able to forget their mistakes, learn from them, and move on.
That's right. I think that was a really articulate point. And I think one of the things that we do really badly, I mean, you're callers earlier on alluded to how medical schools, undergraduate medical education, is really beginning to improve our focus on communication. I would like to see us move towards improving emotional insight in our physicians who really suffer in, you know, large numbers. I mean, we have a higher suicide rate among physicians, a higher substance use rate. They divorce in greater numbers than other professionals. A lot of them, and, you know, I have a busy practice with a lot of physicians in it because they're really suffering.
Why did you decide to specialize in treating physicians?
I think my first response is because it's really fun to sit with people who are bright, compelling, and just a little tortured. But when I'm more honest about it, it's probably because there is a part of me that likes that the tables are turned a little. But, you know, when I'm psychologically honest, you know, to see them wrestling with the same vulnerability that I wrestled with and to experience their humanity is probably psychologically gratifying for me.
In Amelia's case, what happened with her? How were you able to help her?
Well, without giving away the ending of the book, I will say that, you know, for a long time she spiraled downward and I felt really unable to improve the situation. And then slowly through providing an environment where she could explore both the parts of her training that acculturated her to be unable to deal with this mistake, and then the background she took into her training, we were able to kind of navigate our way through some of it.
It's a fascinating story. One of the oddities is that it's this particular form of writing is called narrative nonfiction. You yourself are a major character in all of this. Are you comfortable entirely with that when you're writing about one of your patients?
No, that's a really insightful question, Neil. No, I'm really squeamish, actually. The part of me that's a psychologist wants to appear like really omnipotent and omniscient and just always articulate and brilliant. And then the part that's a writer, you know, my patients are going to read this, you know, and a lot of them, you know, I have patients who come to me because of my first book. So that's, you know, really anxiety-provoking. But the part of me that's a writer knew that I was going to have to be completely honest about my ambivalences and my confusions and my humanity in order for this to really work.
The book is called Delivering Dr. Amelia, the story of a gifted young obstetrician's mistake and the psychologist who helped her. His name is Dan Shapiro. He's the author of this book, and thanks very much for coming in.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Dan Shapiro is an assistant professor of clinical psychiatry at the University of Arizona in the College of Medicine in Tucson, Arizona. And again, the name of his book is Delivering Dr. Amelia. In other headlines, NPR News is following today. Intensified fighting is reported in Monrovia, Liberia. A small force of Marines has been dispatched to help protect the U.S. embassy there. NPR's Jason Beaubien is also there. He will report on the latest today on All Things Considered on this station later from NPR News. Right now, you're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News.